Hello and welcome to the Panorama Podcast from the World Business Council for Sustainable Development. On this podcast, we sit down with the world's key players in sustainability and look at the action being taken to tackle global challenges. Today, for a special edition of Panorama, WBCSD President and CEO Peter Bakker sits down with Tony Towns-Whitley, Vice President Industry at Microsoft, to discuss the future of work, sustainability in IT, and moving from a know-it-all society to a learn-it-all society.
We are here in the WBCSD Panorama studio. Tony Towns-Whitley, Corporate Vice President Industry of Microsoft Corporation, has come all the way from America today to join us. Tony, welcome. It's great to have you with us here. And many thanks for sitting down with me to discuss Microsoft's approach to sustainability. Let's start close to home. Where does sustainability fit in a diverse global IT company like Microsoft?
Well, first, Peter, it's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation. Look, I think let's start with diverse global IT company and just decompose that phrase. Microsoft operates in 191 countries around the world. We have sort of boots on the ground in 120 subsidiaries, and we've been providing support, services, solutions, platforms, products to public sector and commercial enterprises since our founding in 1975. With a mission that we've made very, I'd say, boldly and pretty broadly to empower every person and every organization on the planet towards more achievement, our strategy is to build best-in-class platforms and productivity services. And with that, we know that environmental sustainability is a serious challenge that requires more of a comprehensive and global response from all sectors of society. And so with the mission statement of empowering every person and organization with a global footprint, we look at our role with sustainability really in threefold. First, in terms of our own organization, we're committed to measuring, transparently reporting, and reducing our own carbon footprint of our own operations. We search for opportunities to minimize our own environmental impact, to reduce waste and conserve water and other raw materials. And as we pursue these goals, we follow fairly strict policies to ensure that we remain fully compliant with international environmental regulations and the specific environmental requirements of each country and region where we do business. But beyond getting sort of our own house in order, we also try to bring sustainability into how we serve our customers. AI for Earth is a Microsoft program that aims at empowering people and organizations to solve global environmental challenges by increasing their access to artificial intelligence tools and educational opportunities and accelerating innovation. In fact, in December, we announced that we're broadening that program and expanding a strategic plan, committing another $50 million over the next 5 years to putting AI technologies in the hands of individuals and organizations that are trying to protect the planet. And then finally, I would say that we are fully cognizant that data can really be not only the currency for businesses, but can also be the diagnostic for how the planet is sort of the health of our planet and how we can go forward to improve that health. So we're looking at all of the data platforms that we can employ. We're building data platforms that help us assess the condition of air, water, land, and the well-being of our wildlife. We're using technology to drive, if you will, not only artificial intelligence, but machine learning, so that that data becomes more actionable for decision-making for environmentalists, for those technologists, for business leaders, and for governments and nonprofit organizations. So it's worth sort of imagining that Microsoft, with a mission statement, a global footprint, and services that are intended to empower, that we keep our own house in order, that we bring capability in the services that we provide, and that we try to bring innovation, if you will, to the act of sustainability going forward.
Thank you. I think here at WBCSD, we're incredibly proud that Microsoft has recently decided to join the membership of WBCSD. And I think it's so interesting because, you know, we all recognize that information technology is playing this increasingly important role in our lives. You know, we used to connect all through our PCs. Now it kind of determines everything from the way we plan cities to the way we turn up or down the heat in our homes. After having learned some of the work that WBCSD does, where do you see IT can play the biggest role in making the world more sustainable?
Well, look, we having spent just the day learning more and more about this amazing organization, I think it proves out the point that innovation and sustainability go hand in hand. That's our perspective at Microsoft. And as I said, having spent time with your organization, I think that is proven out with the opportunities we have ahead of us. We're optimistic about the role of technology in accelerating the pace of innovation and democratizing the benefits of cloud technologies that people can better adapt and thrive in what we know is a currently resource-constrained world that will become more resource-constrained over time. We think that tech innovation is transforming almost every part of our lives. And if you think of a new generation of technology, cloud-enabled advances machine learning, artificial intelligence, and makes it possible to reason over large amounts of data, particularly data that can be used to understand where we can improve, if you will, our footprint as a planet. And so we're focused on not only challenges that are unique to Microsoft, but technology companies in general, on how do we, around the globe, address some of the most difficult challenges in society. Urban mobility is one of our current focuses. As we look at future migration towards cities, we're also focused on citizen services and how we can improve there. We're looking at automotive and the future of, if you will, smart mobility, connected cars, and autonomous driving. And we're looking at each one of the sectors. I have the opportunity in managing across six different industries within Microsoft, from education and health to retail and manufacturing. And each one of those, we see the opportunity to drive a sustainability agenda with the technology that we're bringing to market.
Great. I know you, because you told me that you are a regular visitor of the meetings in Davos. And since a few years, the fourth industrial revolution has been launched, as playing into much of what you just said. One of the elements that keeps getting more attention, though, is what is going to be the impact overall on employment? What is going to be the future of work when jobs are being displaced by artificial intelligence, robots, and other forms of IT innovation? How does Microsoft and perhaps the sector in general look at this topic?
You know, we recently launched a study called Future Computed that was to look at sort of the future of work in the modern workplace. We're very, very focused because a lot of our technology that we are building is intended to drive productivity, increase collaboration, and greater and faster decision-making for workers going forward. But it is absolutely the case, and we know that the research proves out that we will have, if you will, what is called cobot environments, a collaborative bot and human environment in many industries going forward that will change the nature of work. There are lots of studies that talk about how many jobs will go away, will be replaced. A study came out last year from Harvard University just looking at manufacturing, indicating that with 2 million jobs that would be displaced in that sector, there were still new jobs that would be created. And I think the question is not, will we have an increase in new jobs and a decrease in existing, but what type of capabilities and competencies will we have to fill those new slots? And that's where we have a couple of perspectives. One, Microsoft is spending an amazing amount of time focused on digital skills, what we call skills for middle skills, even those who will be reskilled in their existing roles, as well as those coming through the educational process that need to have digital skills to take on these new jobs. We're also focused on, let's say, those parts of society where we know that this impact may be indexed more severely. For example, what they call the pink-collar workforce. The last few World Economic Forum studies have indicated that the gender gap that currently exists could be exacerbated by digital transformation, where one out of each of the next sort of digital jobs will replace four jobs, traditional jobs for a man, but 20 traditional jobs for a woman, because women are disproportionately placed in jobs that are ripe for automation and for artificial intelligence. So we are focusing our efforts to be purposeful for those populations that might be, if you will, more impacted by digital transformation, particularly women, particularly people of color around the world and various emerging markets, where we are doubling down on our programs to drive digital skills, digital literacy.
Can I dig a little deeper on social sustainability? Where do you see Microsoft and IT fit in the conversation on improving the basic qualities of life? And I guess a big part of that plays out in the emerging markets.
Look, I mentioned that we're in 100, that we're serving 191 countries. Obviously, that includes emerging markets, and we bring our full range of capability from modern workplace to business applications to try to drive, if you will, further economic engagement in those countries, as well as educational opportunities, health, and smart city opportunities to address the emerging workforce and population patterns. But for some specifics here, we've been really focused on basic quality for certain audience groups. Let me give you an example. One of the basic quality of life questions for us is the situation of refugees around the world. We were asked in 2016 by former President Obama as one of the tech companies to stand up with new capabilities for that population, which has been ever increasing. And so we have been part of a movement, if you will, around this, around identity. And what we found when we connected with other organizations in our industry was that a sixth of the planet did not have identity, did not have some form of identity, over a billion people on the planet, and that billion people were particularly prone to human trafficking. Many of them are in refugee camps. Most of them are women and children. And so one of the innovations we have been investing in and part of is one called ID 2020, the identity, providing identity by 2020 for a much larger portion of that 1 billion individuals on the planet who don't have it. We're using a blockchain technology actually from the financial services industry with a few of our partners to start to drive the ability to give identity to, like I said, that 1.1 billion population that lacks it. In the U.S., we have a new initiative called our Rural Broadband Initiative. We found out that of the 32 million people that didn't have broadband access in the U.S., 23 million were in rural locations in the middle parts of the U.S. And so we're using TV white space as a spectrum to try to drive, if you will, more broadband access so that we can give more a better and more immersive digital experience to those Americans that lack that basic connectivity. So when we think about sort of basic, the human experience, we think of it in terms of connectivity, we think of it in terms of digital literacy, we think of it in terms of improving the lifestyle of those who are most impoverished and or most affected by not being part of the digital economy. And there's still much more that we have to do, we should do, and we want to do, but those are just a couple of examples.
No company, not even one with the power and the reach that Microsoft has, that can deliver sustainability by themselves. And collaboration is going to be one of the crucial words going forward. I happen to be reading the new book recently published by your CEO, Hit Refresh, in which he expresses some very refreshing views on collaboration and a different approach to competition. What is the view of Microsoft towards collaboration and taking part in these collaborative efforts?
Well, you know, since its beginning, Microsoft has been a company that's been focused on our partner ecosystem. We boast of one of the largest partner ecosystems of any organization in our industry. 96% of our revenue comes through partner revenue. So partners selling their services on our platforms is what drives the revenue of Microsoft. And so to say that we go to market with our partners is an understatement. We pretty much live and die by the relationships that we build and the ongoing sort of shared innovation with our partners. That said, we have a number of partnerships across, I would argue, that highlight our position on sustainability and how that collaboration can work. One that I'm really excited about I could give is Ecolab, is one of our partners that we started with a partnership that was focused on water systems and being able, a company that was really focused on water infrastructure, and that moved to water as a service. And as we started to put that platform on, if you will, with using machine learning and cognitive services on one of our cloud platforms, all of a sudden the transformation of Ecolab went from we can monitor water to now we can understand the risk in capital markets of where water is needed around the world. That's the kind of partnership that drives towards a sustainable outcome. It's good business. It's also good for the planet. It also drives our partnership. And now Ecolab has moved from one type of company to a company that is having a much larger social impact on the conversation of water. That's the kind of strategic partnership that Microsoft pretty much underpins the way we go to market and the kinds of ways that we look to have an impact on the planet.
Well, Tony, it's been highly inspirational to hear your voice coming from the information technology sector. And if you had to give one message to the business leaders listening in, what are the most important steps that leaders and their businesses need to consider to make real progress on sustainability and the Sustainable Development Goals?
So look, I really have probably three that I would suggest. First, it really dovetails from our last conversation about partners. There is no one company on the planet that can address sustainability, no matter how strong their products, services, or even their mindset and culture may be attuned to it. So pick the right partners. Pick the right partners that are aligned with your vision, that share core values, like this partnership that Microsoft is excited to have with the World Council here, the World Business Council. It's also important, I think, to shift our thinking and our mindset. We need to think, if you will, systemically and holistically. We had a conversation earlier today to say, who would be the drivers of the new definitions of sustainability? And one of our conversations landed with, what about the developer, the startup community, that have both a profit interest, but they have a social responsibility in their profile, and they're very attuned with technology? What would happen if we started to hack these big social problems in the way that we hack issues in technology, to really open up our thinking and not be constrained in what we believe to be new models, but really allow those who are on the front edge of innovation and have, if you will, the economic imperative of a developer startup mindset, which is you have to earn quickly to stay in business, how would they solve the problems of the planet and sustainability? So I think that's a community we need to reach out to and really grab hold of the developer community in each one of these areas. And then finally, what was the shift in Microsoft was a shift, quite frankly, in culture. We went to a culture that said we needed to adopt a growth mindset. And by definition, that was from work done by Carol Dweck at Stanford University. But what we adopted as a company was this decision that we were going to move from a know-it-all culture to a learn-it-all culture, that we were going to be continuous learners. And if there's ever a topical or intellectual area that you have to be open to learning, it's sustainability. Things are changing that quite quickly, and there are a number of different variables. So I think moving from a fixed mindset that we know the answer, we know the business models, we just need to apply what we've done in the past, to a growth mindset that says, open to continuous learning. We will move in iterative fashion. Let's try a few things, learn from them, fail fast, apply, adopt new capabilities. I think that's the culture that business leaders have to have to not only do well profitably as to lead their companies, but to do well in terms of social impact.
Tony, thank you very much for taking the time for this Panorama podcast. Thank you for coming all the way to bring us the Microsoft perspective on these important topics. To our listeners, if you would like more information on any of these subjects, please visit wbcsd.org. And please don't forget to subscribe to and rate the Panorama podcast on iTunes. We look forward to joining you again next time.